Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Kevin Stefanski.
Yes.
Did he win the press conference? Did he? I thought he was neutral in the press conference.
Smart guy.
I will say this about Paul DePodesta and Kevin Stefanski. I have no idea if they're going to lead this team to wins. We'll see. They're both extremely smart. I think that's a positive.
Yes.
They're both aligned. I think that's a positive. Does that mean they're going to win any football games? I have no idea, but I will say those things are at least positives, I think.
I'm giving Kevin a win today.
Give him a win, official win.
I'm giving him the win. The Haslams remain undefeated in introductory press conferences. They are a perfect 5-0. Now we'll see if this guy can actually last more than
two
years.
It's only five, huh?
And you know what? I think he did a great job addressing the elephant in the room, and that's the constant volatility and turnover here and –
I don't agree with that. He didn't really want to talk about that.
Well, the way he handled it. I'm not focused on that.
Oh,
I'm focused on 2020. I'm focused on our future moving forward. That's what I want our players to be focused on. I loved his reaction to the analytics questions. Hey, from my standpoint, knowledge is power. I thought that was a great quote.
So scared of that word.
And you know what?
It's ridiculous.
And again, I'll say it for the millionth time, and I sound like a broken record. Analytics is good. It is a very good thing. It's the application of it and how you use that information that matters.
Right.
And you also have to have players capable of executing the application of the analytics. Because if you don't have that,
coaches,
you got to have the players too. Because if the analytics tell you, if the data tells you going forward on 4th-and-1 at the opponent's 38-yard line has an X percent success ratio, if you don't have the players that can pick up that 1 yard, it doesn't matter.
Who doesn't have players that can't pick up a yard?
Have you watched Cleveland Browns football since 1999?
I mean, every team should be able to pick up 1 yard.
But I'm just saying, that's where I come off on this. And I'll be perfectly honest with you. I think the Cleveland Browns did themselves a tremendous disservice by not having Paul DePodesta speak on January 2nd. I think that had he spoke on the 2nd, much like he talked today,
because
I thought Paul came off great.
Dustin didn't think as much.
I didn't think it didn't come off great. I just have some questions.
Well, it was the comment that DePodesta made about the draft picks.
I want to know how involved the analytics are going to be in drafting players.
Right, and I think that's an absolute fair question because I think it was involved a little too much with Sashi Brown. And I know some people don't want to hear it, but Sashi Brown did not draft well. He had two drafts.
But neither did all the football guys they've had here, except for John Dorsey, maybe.
Understood.
Yeah.
But I think that he came off extremely well. We're all afraid of what we don't know. There's a lot of things that we don't really know with this thing going forward of how they're going to do things.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly feel a little bit better about it today because I know a little more today after having the opportunity to talk to Paul and obviously hearing from Stefanski. I thought Jimmy Haslam probably came off as good as he's come off in a little while. But
I will say that the thing about him living in San Diego, I felt like...
It still bothers me. I think
actually,
it's a problem.
Well, if he's here as much as he says he is, then does it matter where he lives if he's just flying in? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, if he's here, he made it seem like he's here 5 days a week.
He's not here 5 days a week.
Well, how do you know that? I mean, I don't know. How often is he here?
I've not heard that he's here 5 days a week.
Okay.
How's
but I
that?
Mean, I don't, you know, I'm less worried about that than I was.
What ultimately has to happen, Jimmy shooting down the, and also Stefanski did the same thing, shooting down the stuff about the game plan. I don't know if I necessarily believe all that, but I think they handle that line of questioning as best as you can. But, here's the issue with DePodesta, okay? And I've tweeted about it. I've written about it a little bit. I've talked about it. football people are creatures of habit. They put it, they invest a tremendous amount of time and energy to be in a building, you know, 6, 7 days a week if you're in season, and you're putting in those 12 to 18 hour days, day in and day out. They're a little territorial about that kind of stuff. That's like a badge of honor for them. All right. And when you have somebody that that has the type of influence that Paul has on ownership, okay, and he clearly does, just look at how the coaching search was conducted. He was probably the most experienced in the room, okay? And that guy has the owner's ear, and he's evaluating my performance, and I'm the one putting in all these hours, sun up to sun down, and he's going to tell the owner what I should be doing, and he's here once or twice a week or showing up on game. I'm going to have a problem with that.
But
that's human nature.
Yeah.
And that festers.
Right.
That festers a
football,
toxic working environment.
Football people don't like change.
Correct.
They don't like new ideas, some of them.
Right.
I think the smart coaches are taking the new ideas and running with them and having success.
Well, I mean, look at the Ravens. Bill Belichick has been using analytics since he coached the Cleveland Browns
in the
90s. Okay?
That's right.
Plain and simple. Oh, Paul Brown used analytics all the way back in the 40s. He just used a different form of analytics. Similar to what Paul said, you know, we're not using spreadsheets or whatever during the draft process outside of measurables, but it's a very analytical process that you're going through. All the interviews, the reference checks, talking to teammates, talking to medicals, all that kind of stuff. From his standpoint, he views that as a very analytical process. So I do agree that, you know, analytics has become this buzzword that people want to treat like it's a four-letter word, and that's not the case.
Right.
Having that information, having someone in the coach's ear in the heat of the moment, hey, again, game situation, whatever, now's a good time to burn a timeout. Nope, hold the timeout. This is what, you know, the clock management. I don't think that that's bad, and it's not something new either that they've done. I mean,
Belichick does it.
Right.
Yeah.
John Harbaugh does it. Hugh Jackson had it here. Freddie Kitchens had it here. I think what you have, though, is you now have a coach that's going to be in place that's happy to have that.
That's going to use the information.
Right, that isn't going to have a problem that, yeah, somebody's upstairs in the booth saying, hey, it's 4th and 2. This is what we think you should do here. He's not going to be offended by that.
There won't be a pushback, right? I mean, it won't be
right.
Like a divide, which there probably was numerous times in the past. You look back at the first go-round with the analytics, it was 1-31.
Yes.
You know, you drafted Corey Coleman and Cody Kessler.
When you could have had Michael Thomas.
Yeah, I mean, it's just...
Again, we could say that about every draft, pretty much.
I get
analytics
it.
Or not.
Understood.
I understand that. You have to understand my concern, though, is that, you know, this hasn't worked when you tried it, so... What makes you think it's going to work now? And I think DePodesta today tried to distance himself from all that stuff by saying, hey, listen, when I got here, I didn't know anything about the NFL.
I
didn't try to have a voice or whatever.
I liked what he said today. I'm not out there scouting the players. I'm not out there, you know, doing that. That's what we pay the scouts for.
Yep.
You know, my job, though, is just to make sure that whoever we pick fits in to the puzzle. Like, he's a piece that fits in where it's supposed to fit. And I get that. And it all sounds good, but to your point, Dustin, you're 100% right. What sounds good, what makes for a great soundbite or a great quote online, which I'm going to be writing about later this evening, in DePodesta's role here going forward, because we're not in those rooms, we're not in those meetings, and the first go-round that they did it, you know, they had somebody who wasn't, quite frankly, qualified to be a GM. Yet.
Right, but this time they will, and this time they have a coach that will use the information.
Right.
I'm not saying it's going to work or not, but it's not exactly the same situation.
Right.
Because they'll have a GM who is qualified as
and
a GM,
also
and a coach who will use the information.
And also the roster composition's much different
right now.
They actually have something here to build off of, whereas back in 2016...
They were starting over and didn't get a full chance to run it through.
They scrapped everything.
Yeah.
You burned the house down, okay, and had to rebuild from the ground up. Now,
And
the foundation's in place, some pieces are in place, and they just have to add the accents.
And
I think that that's the other reason why I think that this potentially has a chance to be successful, because you're not having to start over with a quarterback and start over with your offensive line and your skill position players.
And to be fair, they did draft some good players, including Myles Garrett.
Right.
They drafted Emmanuel Ogba, who's been good, Joe Schobert, Larry Ogunjobi, even Rashard Higgins to some degree, even though this year was a disappointment. So they did draft some good players. Yep. They set John Dorsey up with amazing cap space.
The 2017 draft was a hell of a lot better than the 16 draft. The 16 draft was an unmitigated disaster. But the second one, that's where you found some players you could move forward.
Right. Well, but even in 16, they did get Joe Schobert, who's been a hell of a find. Again, I'm not saying it's perfect. I think it's a better scenario because there is this alignment now. Right. I'm not convinced Jimmy will let anything run its process, and I'll still not confident that this team is going to all of a sudden win.
He's the X
because
factor.
They're aligned, and because he could screw it up. I just think they're doing the plan. At least makes some sense that we're all on the same page. That makes sense. Will it all work? We'll find out.
Yeah, and that's why I'm not praising the hire. I'm not saying it's the greatest thing in the world, but I'm also not saying it's a terrible hire either. I'm taking a wait and see approach. I think I gave him love after every coach they've hired. Well, this is the first time I'm not doing either. I'm not just taking a step back and saying, you know what? Ask me in December what I think of it, and then I'll have a much more informed opinion.
Yeah, so we'll see if this team can win some damn football games.
What it's about,
man. Gotta be better than 6-10 this year.
You know, the other thing too that I think that the Browns need to do is I think they need to lower the rabbit ears a little bit. You know, when you constantly go through this type of stuff, where you're just, it's like a hurricane blowing through every year, of just flushing guys in and out like this. The media is gonna be negative. The fans are gonna be negative. You know what? Lower the rabbit ears for a while, okay?
Yeah, they deserve all the criticism they're getting.
Let this thing, because if you win, guess what? You're going to get the same thing you got last year. And I'll just use myself as the example. I'm the one that after they traded for Odell wrote they were a Super Bowl contender. I predicted them to win 10 games. I thought they'd not only make the playoffs, I thought they'd play in the divisional round. So, you know, I was pretty positive last offseason.
Yeah,
you know, I didn't get negative until we got into the season, and I started seeing things for what they were.
And then the week one was a disaster. And by the way, stop tweeting at me. Although I'm not on Twitter right now, but stop tweeting at me and saying, "Oh, you said the Titans weren't any good." Yeah, they weren't any good with Mariota. They're good with Tannehill.
It's a great, great story. Mike Vrabel, good coach.
Can you imagine that for almost 3 years the Titans barely used Derrick Henry? He barely played until December of last year. And now he's the most dominant back in the NFL.
No one wants to tackle. I mean, when you watch him run, you see guys making business decisions on the field. You don't see that very often in a playoff game.
Yeah.
But when you see dudes making business decisions in playoff games, that tells you what a monster that guy is.
By the way, another dumb narrative last week was that the 49ers and Titans winning proves that running football is the way to go. Well, all four of the teams they beat were also running teams.
Yeah.
So either way, however those games turned out, there was a running. The Ravens are a running team, and the Vikings are a running team.
Yeah. Didn't Lamar Jackson, who's going to win the MVP? Didn't he set the rushing record for a quarterback?
They had a bad game, but they were a running team too. All right, Darryl. Good job out of you.
Good seeing you guys.
You too, buddy.
See you at the next firing press conference.
Yeah, see you next year.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.